Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Natstown. Welcome to Nats Nightly, sponsored by the District Sports Page and FederalBaseball.com. This is Patrick Reddington from Federal Baseball. I've got Dave Nichols and Tom Bridge from District Sports Page on the line. Doghouse is at the game. Claims he'll be calling in on his way home, so we'll see if he joins us. But we'll start with you guys. Dave, Paul Hamels on the mound. Gave up one run on a home run to right in Citizens Bank Park last Saturday in his first start against the Nationals this season. Only run allowed in seven innings pitch that night. Gave up a home run on the first pitch tonight. Threw a fastball to UNL Escobar, who was clearly waiting for it. Put it in red sports seats. Hamels has dominated in that. 18-5, 2.59 ERA, 2.18, 2.74, 3.42 line against in 33 starts. Hadn't given up more than three earned runs in 15 straight starts before tonight. The Nationals got off to a good start there with UNL absolutely crushing one.
Yeah, you know, Cole Hamels has always dominated the Nationals, but this isn't the same Cole Hamels. And if the Phillies want to get anything out of a trade value for him, they might want to do it sooner than later because he just is not the same guy. The fastball's a little flatter. It's a mile or two an hour slower. If you look at the fancy graphs on his breaking pitches, they're not nearly as sharp as they used to be. So, you know, like I said, if the Phillies want to get any return on it, they probably want to do it before the All-Star break. But, you know, it's really kind of funny. He's not off to a good start this season. He's already given up seven solo home runs, you know, in not even three full games pitched. So, you know, the Nats jumped on him, like you said, quickly. They jumped on him often and early. And it's good to see the bats continue against what was at least once a quality pitcher.
Doug Fister out there.
Absolutely.
On the mound. Six and a third scoreless versus the Phillies last Saturday when he faced off against Hamels. No decision in the loss. Got 12 ground outs and 26 batters he faced. 2-2, 2.12 ERA, 2.27, 2.67, 3.59 line against the Phillies so far in his career. He gave up a run in the third. Bryce Harper misjudged a play, a foul by a fly ball to right by Freddie Galvis. Tracked it to the wall, got a little late start on it, and missed it when it bounced off the wall. Cole Hamels able to score from first there. It looked like, again, like the Nationals were going to have some defensive issues causing them trouble.
Well, absolutely. And I was going to say, Harper misjudges that ball in right, and then Taylor has one get away with him in center in the next inning. Both of those come back to haunt the Nationals. I thought we were looking for a repeat of the awful game in Boston. However, they managed to keep it together. They managed to limit the damage to just those two runs on the evening, which was a nice change. And I was going to say the ratio tonight for Fister was very interesting to see him give up so many fly balls as opposed to his usual ground out spree. I think at one point he was at 9 fly outs, 3 strikeouts, 3 ground outs. And Matt Williams chalked that up after the game to the different makeup of the Phillies roster, a lot more left-handers in that roster than there are for a lot of clubs. So that's where he was putting it up to tonight, and we'll see if that carries through in Fister's next start.
Doghouse, can you hear me now?
I can indeed, sir.
As Tom mentioned there, after Bryce Harper's misplay in the third, Michael Taylor, line drive to center off of Carlos Ruiz's bat, tracks it back, gets his glove on it, but had to go off the heel of his glove. Last year during spring training, Matt Williams kind of talked him up as an 80 defender on the 2080 scout scale, but Michael Taylor's had a few misplays in the last couple of days, losing balls in the sun, but missed that one tonight. Is this just him getting used to the major leagues and new parks and everything going on up here, or you're a little worried about the defense not quite being there yet?
Well, I'm kind of wondering if it's something that Tom was getting at there, that he just wasn't expecting to get any fly balls tonight. What's going on with that? This is supposed to be a ground ball tendency guy. What are we doing with him? They're having to look up into the sky and balls are coming down from him. What's going on with that? But, there was a general consensus around him fans that Fan would have caught that ball. There was a general consensus that Rick Antheil and Nick Logan and any one of the dodgy number of center fielders that the Nats have had over the years would have also caught that ball, but that got to be a little uncharitable after a while. Of course, what Taylor managed to do a little later in the game on the other side of the plate is certainly something that Span would not have done, but that's something I'm sure we'll talk about a little further in the broadcast.
That's a nice segue to what we're going to do next, Dave. Bryce Harper in the fourth inning takes a walk from Cole Hamels on a questionable ball four there. Ryan Zimmerman strikes out swinging, but Harper moves up to second on a balk by Hamels, kind of taunted him into it, sort of. Seems to be one of the few guys in this league who actually gets in Cole Hamels' head and kind of messes with him a little from what we've seen over the last couple of years. Bryce Harper ends up scoring on a broken bat single by Wilson Ramos there. And then, as Doghouse mentioned, next inning, Michael Taylor comes up, 2-0 fastball from Hamels, blasts one into the left field bullpen, 3-10 lead. So we see some questionable defense from both of them, Dave, but they come through with the Harper with a walk, Taylor with the home run in the next couple innings.
Yeah, you know, I think most of what Taylor's problems with so far this season, I think they've been more communicative as opposed to physical. Obviously, you know what he can do with the bat. He provides a lot of power, and I really think that he's going to end up being a Mike Cameron-type player, 20 homer, 20 stolen base, and a 220, 230, 240 batting average, and give you a really good defense in center field. I think right now, I think the Nats were kind of pressed into playing him early this season with Span's injury. I think that they would not have minded him getting 2 or 3 months of seasoning at AAA to begin with, but I think he's getting some really good experience playing here, playing at this level every day right now. As for Harper, here's a guy that turns in a highlight reel game and doesn't even have a base hit. I mean, he draws two bases on balls, which is terrific. It's good to see him exercising, good plate judgment here. But you mentioned goading Hamels into the balk, and then later running through Bob Henley's stop sign and climbing up Jason Worth's back to score that run. You know, if Bob Henley's holding you, you better well stop. But Harper had to play in front of him the whole way and was safe. But it's never a dull moment with that kid. He when he's on the base pass, he really tries to show that he's got that part of his game as well. And sometimes it's for good and sometimes it's for worse. But it worked out for him tonight.
At Tom, you were at the game tonight. It got a little exciting there in the sixth inning. The first time they've scored more than 3 runs against Hamels in 15 starts, as Charlie Sloz and Dave Jagler mentioned in the lead-up to the game. Bottom of the sixth, Jason Worth doubles to center to start it. Bryce Harper walks. Ryan Zimmerman comes up. Opposite field double. That's always a good sign from Zimmerman when you see him going the other way. Doubles off of Hamels to drive in 2 runs there. As Dave mentioned, Harper pretty much catches up to Worth, almost passes him going to home there. But a good sign from Zimmerman seeing that power back and seeing him go the other way with a fastball.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, Zim had a hell of a night at first base as well as in the batter's box. Made a couple of really stellar picks there that has a lot of Nats fans, I'm sure, breathing a sigh of relief that Zimmerman's transition to first base has been as good as it has. But, yeah, I was going to say Harper guns it, seeing the play in front of him the entire way, guns it around, nearly catches Worth on the approach to third there, has to dial it back just a tidge as they make the final throw. Now, they got fortunate in that the Phillies missed the cutoff man there, and the relay wasn't as good. But, yeah, I was going to say sometimes you make aggressive errors. And this is definitely a ball club that's going to do a little bit more aggression than they are going to sit back and sit pretty.
And okay, that's a little bit of a weird
on that play. I think the thing there is not how aggressive Harper was; it's how conservative Worth played that. Because I think he really missed it. It seemed pretty clear from how that ball was tailing that it was going to get down. But I think he waited a little too long to really let it go and start running. If the throw is on coming from the outfield, maybe Harper's out as the trail runner. But if Worth reads that play a little bit better off the bat, he's running all the way, and Harper catches up to him anyhow, and they both score easily.
Dave, as we mentioned a few times here, not a typical night from Pfister, but he ends up getting the win. 6 2/3, 4 hits, 2 runs, 1 earned run. 4 walks, which was the first time he's done that since mid-September of 2013. First time in a Nationals uniform. He's walked 4 in a game. Ends up getting, 5-3 ground outs and flyouts. Got a few ground outs there at the end. As Tom mentioned, he had more flyouts than ground outs for most of the game, but not necessarily a stellar start from Doug Pfister. But when they gave him the lead there, he went out and kind of got a little more efficient and set the Phillies down when he needed to.
Yeah, you know, last year, earlier in the season, you know, the ground ball wasn't really sinking for him as well. So it might be a function of the summertime heat giving him a little bit more dip on that sinker. I'm not particularly worried about the fly balls at this point, and I'm going to shake off the walks tonight too. I mean, he had Herrera 3-1 and kind of lost him there in his at bat. That's the unfortunate one because Herrera, the rookie, kind of a wild swinger, took a really weird cut at a changeup and practically corkscrewed himself into the ground, and then Pfister couldn't find the plate again, and then gave Galvis a four-pitch walk. So obviously he just ran out of gas there, and you know, Williams was giving him that final right-handed batter to try to get out of the inning, and then really what I think was the at-bat of the night was Thornton coming in and getting Utley, who is the last of the Phillies, you know, solid players, off to a little bit of a struggle here this year. But Thornton came in and got the job done there in a very big spot. I mean, he gives up, you know, a two-run single there to Utley, and we've got a completely different ball game.
Matt Williams talked and angered some people who are hoping he's going to be more of a matchup guy in the late innings with the relievers now that Tyler Clipper's not over here. Angered some by calling Blake Treinen his eighth inning guy the other night, but they have a lead in the eighth tonight. They go to Aaron Barrett, comes out with a great, I think it was a 10-pitch. He had 10-pitch, 8-strike, scoreless eighth inning, really dominant outing from Barrett there after Treinen struggled a little bit and given the opportunity a few times. Good to see Barrett there, and you think he's going to work his way into that spot and become the new eighth-inning guy, even though some of us don't approve of the strict role?
Well, I don't necessarily know if this is going to be a strict role position. But, you know, Barrett really had his sinker tonight, which let him get ahead in the count and use that slider to devastating effect. And that's exactly what the Nationals need to see in their late-inning relief positions. And I think it's too early to say that there's a dedicated eighth-inning man. We're in game number 10. There are 162 games in the season. As much as I'm loath to use the cliche, it's a long season, and you're going to see some rotation through those positions. So whether or not Matt Williams is going to be a dedicated role pitcher, role pitcher, assigner guy, well, I'm not holding my breath. I certainly was impressed with what we saw out of Barrett tonight. I certainly think he has the stuff to be a late-inning pitcher and was very dominant tonight against the Phillies.
Doghouse Storen comes on in the ninth, save number 3 of the season, gives up the hit but gets a double play to get out of there. A little anger on the National side on a swing that they thought was a called strike 3. Umpires and they checked it at first. They didn't call it either. Matt Williams barking at the umpires a little bit, but Storen settles down, gets a double play to end it there, gets his third save of the season.
Yeah, I was up in the 300 yell, level yelling, he went right along with everyone else. But even I could see up there, he didn't go. That wasn't a swing.
You're yelling seriously.
I'm going to scream as loud as the next guy. It's what we're there for. But come on, that was he held up. We didn't get Berkman there. Especially when we got that nice, sweet double play out there to end the game. That was good to see.
Dave said the swing was as bad as Lance Berkman.
Dave was exaggerating, as he would want to do. Come on. We have the same vantage
Lance
point.
Lance Berkman went, that's for sure. That one we can all agree on.
Oh, he went, definitely. I am on record as saying that Berkman went. But
Hashtag never forget.
This was a nice out. Oh, I'm having a vision of Laval Spigner even as we speak, speaking of not forgetting. There is not enough beer in the world to wash out some of the early Nat starters.
Now I'm having nightmares, Doghouse. That's not fair.
But to bring it back to something a little more positive, a good outing from Storen, no walks, no dingers. This is what we like to see out of a late inning guy, especially out of a closer. We got some sharp defense behind him. This makes me almost hopeful that the bullpen will be serviceable over the rest of the season. So keep that up, guys. Even though you're not structured in a form of bullpen aces and matchups as Doghouse would prefer. But whatever your roles ending up being, let's have some success in them.
Dave, we'll go to you for the last one, and sorry to end on a sour note here after a nice night at the park and a big win by the Nationals, but the news early today, Craig Stammen, torn flexor tendon in his right arm, surgery needed, likely to miss the season. I think it's a good thing they have Tanner Roark available in the bullpen. They can kind of seemingly slide him into that role, but big blow from Craig Stammen, who's logged more innings than anyone in the majors since he took over a middle relief role for the Nationals back in 2012-2013.
Yeah, just a damn shame. I mean, Stammen does a bang-up job just about every time he goes out there. Great guy. Guys love him in the clubhouse. You know, just a consummate pro. I still maintain that he could start, you know, be a 4 or 5 starter on 2/3 of the teams in the big leagues, but really has done a dependable job for the Nats in that sort of swing role in the bullpen. It's just going to be a tough blow. I mean, you know, you lose Clipper to the trade. Obviously, the Xavier Cedeño experiment didn't work. You lose Stammen now. It's just, you know, the bullpen is going to show some cracks. Tanner Roark obviously is going to have to take more of a role. You're going to have to see if Rafael Martin is going to be a guy that you can depend on, or if the second time through the league they're going to pick up his funky delivery. So, you know, the people that were worried about the bullpen at the beginning of the season have even more fuel for their fire now with the Nats losing a very important cog in Craig Stammen.
Dave, you know that I don't say I told you so, and I don't like people who do, but I remember last week me telling you that Felipe Rivero is going to be the Ian Kroll this year and the first lefty that they brought up when they needed one. He was called up today, so we'll see him working out of the pen too, see what he can do. 23-year, 24-year-old lefty, throws 96-97, has a nice curveball too that we all saw this spring. So we'll see what he can do out of the pen, if he can be that second lefty they're looking for in Cedeño, and it didn't work out. So that's Nightly. That's it for tonight. Sponsored by the District Sports page and federalbaseball.com. Tom, Dave, Doghouse, great to talk to you all. Tom, especially nice to have you on the show, and hopefully you'll be calling in more this year. Nats Nightly, sponsored by the District Sports page and federalbaseball.com. Nats 4-6 after a 5-2 win. Hopefully we'll talk to all you guys tomorrow.
Go Nats.
See you then. Go Nats.